You were never broken. You were simply taught to believe you were limited. From the moment we begin to dream, the world begins to whisper doubts. It tells us what's impossible, what we should fear, and what's not meant for us. But deep inside you is a voice that never stopped believing, a quiet, powerful force waiting to rise again. This audiobook is not about becoming someone new. It's about remembering who you've always been before the noise, before the fear, before the beliefs that told you you can't. It's time to erase those limits and rebuild your confidence from within. Introduction. Every thought we hold is a seed. The beliefs we nurture grow into the life we live. Limiting beliefs are like invisible walls, unseen, but deeply felt. They tell us that we're not good enough, not smart enough, not worthy enough. But these beliefs are not facts. They are simply stories that have been repeated for so long, they began to feel true. Confidence is not arrogance, it is self-trust. It's the quiet knowing that no matter what happens, you can handle it. Throughout this audiobook, we'll journey together through 7 powerful chapters that will help you identify, dismantle, and replace limiting beliefs with empowering truths. This is not motivation that fades, it's transformation that lasts. Chapter 1. The Origin of Limiting Beliefs. Before you can erase what limits you, you must understand where it began. Every belief, whether empowering or limiting, has an origin. No one is born believing they are not enough. When you were a child, you looked at the world with open eyes, full of possibility. You didn't question your worth, you simply existed in it. You believed you could do anything, climb the highest tree, draw your dreams, run faster, laugh louder, and reach for everything without hesitation. Then somewhere along the way, something changed. Someone told you no. Maybe it was a teacher who said, you're not good at that, or a parent who compared you to another child, or a friend who laughed when you shared your dream. Maybe you failed once or twice and decided that failure meant you weren't capable. These moments, though small at first, start to leave impressions on the mind. Like fingerprints on glass, they blur how we see ourselves. We start to form conclusions about who we are and what we can or cannot do. And those conclusions, repeated enough times, turn into beliefs. A belief is just a thought you've accepted as truth. The mind collects experiences like data, and when something painful happens, the mind tries to protect you by building walls. Don't try again, it says. Don't take risks. It believes it's keeping you safe, but in truth, it's keeping you small. Over time, these protective thoughts become limiting beliefs. They tell you that success is for others, that happiness is something you have to earn, that love only comes if you're perfect, or that you're destined to stay where you are. It's important to understand that limiting beliefs rarely start with you. Most are inherited from parents, teachers, friends, culture, even society at large. You absorb the fears and opinions of others without realizing it. A parent who grew up struggling might say, "Money doesn't grow on trees, not out of cruelty but from their own limitations." A teacher might tell you that you're not a math person because they once struggled themselves. These beliefs are passed down like invisible family heirlooms, not tangible, but heavy nonetheless. The danger of these beliefs lies in their invisibility. Because they live in your subconscious mind, you may not even know they exist. You just feel their weight, the hesitation before you speak up, the self-doubt before you start something new, the guilt that follows when you succeed. You might tell yourself, that's just how you are, when in truth it's how you were programmed to think. The beliefs running your life are like the code of a computer. They operate in the background, dictating how you see yourself, how you behave, and what you allow yourself to experience. Imagine this, when you were young, you might have drawn a picture and proudly shown it to someone you loved. If that person smiled and said, "That's beautiful," you felt capable and confident. But if they frowned or dismissed it, a seed of doubt might have been planted. The next time you wanted to create, a quiet voice might whisper, "Don't bother, you're not good enough." That's how it begins, one small seed at a time. The problem is not that the seed was planted, it's that we kept watering it long after it stopped serving us. The first step to erasing limiting beliefs is to bring them into awareness. You can't change what you can't see. Start by observing your internal dialogue. When you think about your goals, what's the first voice you hear? Does it sound encouraging or doubtful? Do you say, "I can do this," or do you hear, "Who do you think you are?" The next time you hesitate to take action, pause and ask yourself, "What belief is stopping me right now?" Write it down if you can. The simple act of recognizing a belief begins to dissolve its power. Awareness shines light on the dark corners of the mind, and light always drives away shadows. You might be surprised to discover how many of your beliefs aren't even yours. They were borrowed, adopted, inherited. If your parents constantly worried about money, you may have grown up believing abundance is rare. If your peers mocked ambition, you may have learned to hide your drive. If you failed early in life, you may have built a story that you're not lucky or not meant for success. But ask yourself this: is that belief objectively true, or is it just something you decided was true once and never questioned again? Here's the truth. You can't always control the messages you received growing up, but you can control whether you continue to live by them. You can unlearn fear. You can rewrite your story. The brain is not fixed. It's flexible, capable of change at any age. Neuroscience calls this neuroplasticity, the ability of the mind to form new pathways and beliefs. Every time you challenge an old belief and replace it with a new empowering one, you are literally reshaping your brain. Think of a belief as a mental habit. You don't break it by force, you replace it through repetition. If your mind has spent years telling you "I can't," you can't expect one "I can" to erase it overnight. But with time, attention, and consistency, you begin to override the old pattern. It's like carving a new trail through a forest. At first, it's overgrown and hard to see, but the more you walk it, the clearer it becomes. The old path fades from disuse, and soon the new one feels natural. Here's something powerful to remember. Your beliefs were built through experiences, but they are maintained through your focus. What you focus on expands. If you focus on what's missing, you'll see lack. If you focus on what's possible, you'll see opportunity. The same event can either confirm your limitations or challenge them. It depends on how you interpret it. When something goes wrong, instead of saying, "This always happens to me," try asking, "What is this trying to teach me?" That simple shift transforms limitation into learning. Confidence begins not with success, but with permission. Permission to try. Permission to fail. Permission to grow. Somewhere inside you is a version of yourself, untouched by doubt. The part that still believes anything is possible, that part has been buried beneath years of conditioning, but it's still there. Every time you question a belief that says "I can't," you give that inner self room to breathe again. You allow the authentic you, the limitless you, to reemerge. You might think, "But my experiences prove I'm limited." It's important to understand that your experiences don't prove your beliefs. Your beliefs shape your experiences. If you believe you're unlucky, you'll filter life through that lens and ignore moments that contradict it. If you believe you're not lovable, you'll unconsciously push people away and then use that as proof. The mind is always seeking evidence to support what it already believes. But when you begin to change the belief, your reality slowly adjusts to match it. Every time you notice a limiting belief, pause. Don't resist it or judge it. Understand it. Ask, "When did I first start believing this?" Maybe it came from childhood, maybe from a painful relationship, or maybe from a moment when you failed and didn't forgive yourself. Whatever the source, recognize that the belief was formed to protect you from pain. Thank it for its service, and then release it. You no longer need protection from a past that no longer exists. To erase limiting beliefs, you must learn to become your own mental sculptor. Imagine your mind as a block of marble. Each belief, "I'm not smart enough, I don't deserve love, I'll never succeed," is just excess stone hiding the masterpiece within. As you chisel away at these untruths, what remains is not something new, but something revealed, your truest self, confident, capable and whole. As you move through this process, remember, awareness is freedom. Every time you observe a negative thought and question its validity, you take your power back. You are not your beliefs, you are the consciousness observing them. And from that awareness, you can choose again to believe in your growth, your worth, your ability to change, and your right to a limitless life. The origin of your limiting beliefs does not define your future. It simply explains your past. But your awareness, your willingness to change, and your decision to believe in yourself, those define what comes next. Every great transformation begins with one realization: you are not your programming. You can rewrite the story, you can rebuild your confidence, you can unlearn everything that ever made you doubt your worth. The walls that once confined you were never made of stone, only of thoughts, and thoughts can change. So take a breath. Look inward. Begin to notice what you've believed for too long without question. Because once you see the cage, you've already found the key. Chapter 2: The Power of Thought Repetition. Every belief that shapes your life, whether empowering or limiting, was born through repetition. You didn't come into the world doubting yourself or questioning your worth. Those doubts were learned, and what is learned can be unlearned. The human mind is like fertile soil. Whatever you plant and water will grow. If you consistently plant seeds of fear, doubt or failure, those will take root. But if you intentionally plant thoughts of confidence, peace and success, those too will flourish. The truth is simple yet profound. What you repeat becomes real. Every thought sends a signal to your brain, and the brain, being a pattern-recognizing machine, begins to form connections that align with those repeated messages. This is how neural pathways are built. The more often you think or say something, the stronger that pathway becomes. Think of it like carving a path through a forest. The more times you walk it, the clearer and more permanent it becomes. When you constantly repeat negative thoughts, "I'm not good enough, I always fail, nothing ever works out for me," you are rehearsing limitation. You're not just thinking those words, you're instructing your subconscious mind to make them true. The subconscious doesn't argue with you, it accepts whatever it hears most often. That's why it's so important to be mindful of your inner dialogue. If your thoughts are commands to your subconscious, what orders have you been giving it? Let's look at how this works in daily life. Suppose you grew up hearing that success was only for the lucky few. Each time you faced a challenge, your mind repeated that phrase. Eventually, it became automatic. You didn't need anyone else to say it. You began saying it to yourself. So when opportunities appeared, you subconsciously avoided them because your mind had been trained to believe that success wasn't for you. The same mechanism that traps you in limitation can also set you free once you learn to use it intentionally. The good news is that repetition doesn't discriminate. It works the same way for empowering thoughts as it does for limiting ones. If you start repeating new positive ideas with emotion and consistency, your brain begins to adapt. You are literally rewiring yourself from the inside out. When you say, "I am capable, I am confident, or I am worthy," it might feel strange at first. The old beliefs will resist. They've been there for years, maybe decades. But with enough repetition, the new beliefs will take root and grow stronger than the old ones. Think of your thoughts as drops of water shaping stone. One drop may seem insignificant, but over time, the continuous flow carves deep channels. This is how habits of thought are created. It's not a single affirmation or one burst of motivation that changes your life. It's the quiet, consistent practice of choosing better thoughts day after day. To harness this power, Start small. Begin by noticing the thoughts you repeat most often. You may be surprised by how negative some of them are. Many people live their entire lives unaware of the constant self-criticism echoing in their minds. Once you notice these patterns, you gain power over them. Awareness is the doorway to transformation. Now, every time you catch yourself thinking something disempowering, pause. Don't fight the thought that only strengthens it. Simply acknowledge it and choose a new one. For example, if you hear "I can't do this," gently replace it with "I'm learning to do this," or "I'm growing stronger each time I try." The replacement doesn't have to feel perfect. It just needs to move you in a better direction. Over time, your mind will begin to favor these empowering thoughts naturally. Visualization is another form of repetition. When you imagine yourself succeeding, your brain reacts as if it's actually happening. The same neural circuits fire, strengthening the belief that success is possible. That's why elite athletes visualize their performance before competing. They are training their minds through repetition. You can do the same in your own life. Imagine yourself confident, calm, and capable. Picture yourself speaking clearly, making decisions easily, or achieving your goals. Each mental rehearsal brings that version of you closer to reality. It's also powerful to combine repetition with emotion. The subconscious responds more strongly to feelings than to words alone. When you repeat an affirmation with genuine emotion, when you feel the truth of it, you multiply its effect. If you say, "I am confident," while slouching and doubting, the message is weak. But if you say it with your shoulders back, your head high, and your heart open, your body reinforces the belief. The mind and body are always communicating. Let them work together for your transformation. There's another layer to this process: consistency. Repetition works through time, not intensity. You can't expect to change deeply ingrained beliefs overnight, but just as water smooths stone, daily practice smooths resistance. It's the small, consistent steps that create lasting change. Set aside a few moments every morning and evening to repeat your empowering thoughts. Write them down, speak them out loud, feel them as real. This is not pretending, it's retraining. As you repeat these new ideas, the old beliefs may surface with resistance. That's normal. The mind prefers the familiar, even if it's painful. It may whisper, "This isn't true," or "You're just fooling yourself." When that happens, remember that the voice of doubt is not your truth, it's your conditioning. Keep repeating the new thoughts anyway. Over time, your brain will stop clinging to the old ones, because it can only focus on what you feed it consistently. Be patient with yourself. Just as it took years for limiting beliefs to form, it will take time for empowering ones to feel natural. But every moment you choose a better thought, you are reshaping your destiny. You are proving to yourself that change is possible, not through force, but through focus. The power of thought repetition also explains why external influences matter so much. The voices you listen to, whether from friends, media, or social networks, become part of your mental environment. If you surround yourself with negativity, fear, or cynicism, those ideas will seep into your subconscious. Protect your mental space. Feed your mind with content that uplifts, educates, and expands you. Let every podcast, book, or conversation become a repetition of empowerment. Here's a simple truth to remember. Repetition builds belief, and belief drives behavior. If you believe you can, you'll act accordingly. If you believe you can't, you'll hold back. Both outcomes are self-fulfilling, so why not choose beliefs that open doors instead of closing them? Let's say you want to build confidence in public speaking. You can begin by repeating, "I am calm, clear, and confident when I speak." Even if it feels false at first, keep going. Visualize yourself speaking smoothly, hearing your own voice steady and strong. Feel the pride of expressing yourself freely. The more you repeat this image and thought, the more your brain begins to accept it as reality. One day, you'll find yourself standing before others, calm and clear, realizing that what you once only imagined has become true. The same principle applies to every area of life: career, health, relationships, self-image. Whatever you want to experience must first be believed. And belief is built through repetition. The mind cannot distinguish between what's real and what's consistently imagined. That's your power. When you understand this, you begin to see that your thoughts are tools. You can use them to build walls or bridges. Every repetition is a choice. Every time you think a thought, you're either reinforcing the old version of yourself or creating a new one. So, the question becomes, which version will you choose to repeat today? The practice of repeating empowering thoughts is not about ignoring reality. It's about choosing which reality to strengthen. It's about realizing that your external world is often a reflection of your internal dialogue. Change the words you speak to yourself, and your world slowly adjusts to match them. You are always teaching your mind what to believe. Teach it faith, not fear. Teach it possibility, not limitation. Speak to yourself with the same encouragement you would give a friend who's learning to fly. Tell yourself you can. Tell yourself you're enough. Tell yourself it's okay to start again. Because the more you say it, the truer it becomes. The power of thought repetition is the foundation of all transformation. It's not luck, nor fate, nor external validation that creates change. It's the persistent choice to focus on what empowers you. Each thought is a brushstroke painting the picture of your life. Paint with intention, paint with love, paint with faith. And soon, the masterpiece of your new belief system will reveal itself. The mind becomes what it repeats. So, repeat what sets you free. Chapter 3: Rewriting the Inner Dialogue. The most powerful voice in your life is the one you hear in your own mind. It narrates your day, interprets your experiences, and defines what you believe about yourself. This voice can be your greatest ally or your harshest enemy. For many people, it has become the latter, a critic that whispers doubts, magnifies mistakes, and questions worth. Most of us don't even realize how much power that inner dialogue holds. It shapes our emotions, influences our decisions, and silently directs the course of our lives. The way you speak to yourself determines how you show up in the world. If you constantly tell yourself that you're not smart enough, not attractive enough, not capable enough, your mind begins to accept those words as truth. You start filtering your experiences through that lens. You may not even try for opportunities, not because you can't, but because you've been convinced you're not ready. This inner critic is persuasive. It sounds like reason. It tells you it's protecting you from embarrassment, rejection, or failure. But in truth, it's protecting you from growth. The first step to rewriting your inner dialogue is awareness. Most of the time, our thoughts run automatically, like background noise we've learned to tune out. Begin listening, really listen. Notice what tone your thoughts take. Are they kind or cruel? Encouraging or discouraging? Are you speaking to yourself the way you'd speak to someone you love? If not, it's time to change that. Imagine someone you care about deeply, a child, a friend, a partner. If they made a mistake, would you tell them they're worthless? Of course not. You'd reassure them, remind them of their potential, and encourage them to try again. Yet how often do you offer yourself that same compassion? Self-talk is not self-indulgence, it's self-leadership. The way you speak to yourself becomes the energy you live in every day. When you notice your inner voice being harsh, don't resist it. Don't fight it or shame yourself for thinking negatively. That only strengthens it. Instead, acknowledge it gently. I hear you, but I choose a kinder thought. Your inner critic isn't evil, it's scared. It learned its patterns as a way to protect you. Maybe it believed that if it criticized you first, others couldn't hurt you later. Understanding that softens the battle. The critic isn't your enemy. It's a frightened part of you that needs reassurance, not resistance. Start by introducing a new voice, one of reason, love, and encouragement. When the critic says, "You always mess things up," the new voice replies, "I'm learning and improving every day." When the critic says, "You're not enough," the new voice says, "I'm growing into my potential." These aren't empty affirmations, they're corrections. You're not trying to silence the old voice, you're retraining it to speak truth. At first, it might feel forced or unnatural. That's okay, you've spent years reinforcing one way of thinking. It takes time to build another. The goal isn't perfection, but persistence. Each time you choose a more empowering thought, you're rewiring your mind. The neurons that once fired automatically with negativity begin to lose strength. New neural pathways start forming. The more you use them, the stronger they become. Language shapes identity. The words you attach to I am become your self-concept. I am shy. I am unlucky. I am broken. Every time you say these words, your mind looks for evidence to prove them right. But when you begin to replace them with new ones, I am confident, I am learning, I am healing, your reality shifts. You're not pretending to be someone else, you're giving your mind a new direction. There's a simple practice that can change everything: pause and reframe. Whenever you catch a negative thought, stop and ask, is this thought helping me or hurting me? If it's hurting you, rewrite it. Turn "I can't do this" into "I'm figuring out how to do this." Change "I always fail" to "I'm getting better every time I try." This subtle shift transforms frustration into growth. Visualization can also strengthen your new inner dialogue. Close your eyes and imagine meeting the version of yourself who has already rewritten their self-talk. Calm, confident, self-assured. How do they speak to themselves? What do they believe? How do they move, breathe, and respond to challenges? That version of you already exists in potential form. When you act as though you are already them, your inner dialogue begins to align naturally. Another important step in rewriting your inner dialogue is forgiveness. Many of your harshest thoughts come from unresolved guilt or shame. You may be carrying old mistakes like invisible weights, using them as reasons to doubt yourself. But you can't heal while you're constantly punishing yourself for who you used to be. You did the best you could with the awareness you had at the time. The moment you understand that, you give yourself permission to grow. See to yourself with the same grace you'd offer someone else seeking redemption. It's also helpful to pay attention to the environment around you. The voices you hear externally often become the voices you internalize. If you spend your time around people who constantly complain, criticize, or belittle, those patterns seep into your subconscious. Seek environments and relationships that speak life into you, places where your confidence is mirrored, not diminished. Surround yourself with people who remind you of your strength when you forget it yourself. Music, books, podcasts, and the content you consume all feed your inner dialogue. Choose what you allow into your mind as carefully as you choose what you eat. Just as the body becomes what you feed it, the mind becomes what it hears repeatedly. One of the most powerful exercises to reprogram your self-talk is journaling. At the end of each day, write down the moments when your inner critic spoke the loudest, then respond to it in writing, like a compassionate friend. For example, "Today I felt like I wasn't good enough at work, but I showed up. I learned something new." That's progress. This simple practice builds awareness and gently retrains the mind to focus on growth rather than self-attack. Over time, you'll notice the volume of your inner critic decreasing. It won't vanish completely, and it doesn't need to. The goal is balance. You'll still have self-doubt from time to time, but it will no longer control your behavior. The voice of self-belief will become louder, steadier, and more natural. You'll begin to notice yourself making decisions from confidence instead of fear. Rewriting your inner dialogue is an act of reclaiming authority over your mind. You are the narrator of your story, and the story you tell yourself determines how you live. Every time you replace "I'm not ready" with "I'm prepared enough to begin," you strengthen that narrative. Every time you speak to yourself with kindness, you reinforce the truth that you are worthy of compassion, not condemnation. Confidence is not born from perfection, it's born from self-trust. And self-trust grows from the words you repeat to yourself when no one else is listening. So be mindful of your language. Your thoughts are seeds, and your words are water. Nurture what you wish to grow. There will be days when the old dialogue tries to return, when self-doubt knocks on the door, reminding you of your flaws. But this time you'll recognize it. You'll smile and say, "I know this voice, but I don't believe it anymore." And in that moment, you take back your power. Rewriting your inner dialogue is not about silencing every negative thought. It's about building a stronger, kinder, truer voice that leads you forward. It's about learning to be on your own side again. When that happens, everything changes, not because the world becomes easier, but because you become stronger. The words you speak to yourself create the world you live in. Speak wisely, speak gently, speak with the authority of someone who knows that growth is possible, because it is. And with each thought, each word, each moment of awareness, you are rewriting not just your dialogue, but your destiny. Chapter 4: The Mirror of Self-Perception. Every day you look into a mirror, but how often do you truly see yourself? Most people glance at their reflection only long enough to notice imperfections, a flaw in the skin, tired eyes, a small detail to fix. Rarely do we look deeper, beyond the surface, into the person behind the face. Yet that reflection silently reveals one of the most powerful truths about your life. How you see yourself determines everything you experience. Your self-perception is the lens through which you interpret the world. It influences how you think, what you believe you deserve, and what you allow yourself to pursue. Two people can live the same event, but their self-image will shape completely different experiences. One person sees rejection as proof of inadequacy, another sees it as redirection towards something better. The difference isn't the situation, it's the story each tells themselves about what it means. When you look in the mirror, what story are you telling yourself? For most people, that story was written long before adulthood. It began with the words of parents, teachers, and peers. If you were praised for achievements but criticized for mistakes, you may have learned to associate your worth with perfection. If you were compared to others, you may have built a belief that you were never enough. These messages became the framework of your self-image, and unless you've consciously challenged them, they still shape how you see yourself today. The tragedy is that most of us continue to carry outdated self-perceptions, like wearing clothes that no longer fit. You may still see yourself as the insecure child who didn't fit in, or the person who failed once and never forgave themselves. The mirror reflects your face, but your mind projects your identity. What you believe about yourself becomes the filter that determines what you notice, what you attract, and what you allow. Imagine two mirrors, one clean, one clouded with dust. The clouded one distorts your reflection, making you appear dull and unclear. That's what happens when your mind is covered with years of self-doubt and criticism. You no longer see your true reflection, you see a version obscured by unchallenged beliefs. The purpose of this chapter is to help you clean that mirror, to see yourself as you are, not through the fog of judgment, but through the light of truth. Start with awareness. The next time you stand in front of a mirror, pause. Don't rush to fix or adjust anything, just look. Look into your own eyes and notice what thoughts arise. Are they kind or critical, encouraging or dismissive? Those thoughts reveal how you truly feel about yourself, beyond the surface confidence you might show others. For many people, the first reaction is discomfort. We're taught to look outward for validation, not inward for connection. But learning to meet your own gaze with acceptance is one of the most transformative acts of self-healing. Say your name aloud. It may feel strange at first, but there's power in it. Speak to yourself as you would to someone you love. You've come so far. You're doing your best. I'm proud of you. At first, your mind may resist. It may whisper, this is silly or I don't believe it. That's okay. That's the voice of old programming. Keep speaking. Over time, your subconscious begins to soften. The mirror becomes not a place of judgment, but of affirmation. Your self-perception is not fixed, it's fluid. It changes as you change. When you begin to see yourself as capable, worthy, and deserving, your actions naturally align with that belief. You hold your head higher, make bolder choices, and attract experiences that match your confidence. This isn't magic, it's psychology. The mind seeks consistency. It wants your external reality to match your internal identity. So if you believe you are strong, you will behave in ways that prove it. If you believe you are unworthy, you will unconsciously sabotage opportunities that contradict that belief. To rebuild a healthy self-image, you must separate who you are from what you've been through. Many people confuse their identity with their experiences. They say, I failed, and secretly mean, I am a failure. But failure is an event, not a person. It's feedback, not a definition. The same is true for pain, rejection, and loss. They are chapters in your story, not your whole story. Confidence grows when you start identifying with your strengths rather than your shortcomings. Each time you overcome something difficult, acknowledge it. Each time you show kindness, persistence, or courage, recognize it. These moments are not small. They are the bricks that build your self-worth. The problem is that most people skip over their victories and replay their failures. The mind amplifies what you focus on. Start focusing on the evidence that proves you're capable, resilient, and evolving. It's also important to challenge the labels you've accepted about yourself. Maybe someone once called you lazy, sensitive, or difficult, and you carried that label like a name tag. But labels are not truths, they're opinions. And most opinions are reflections of the speaker, not the listener. Take a moment to ask yourself, who decided this was true about me? You might discover that many of your so-called flaws were simply misunderstood strengths, sensitivity that was actually empathy, caution that was actually thoughtfulness, independence that was mistaken for pride. The mirror exercise can be one of the most powerful tools in rebuilding self-perception. Each morning, stand before the mirror and repeat affirmations that reflect the person you want to see, not as wishful thinking, but as a declaration of intent. Say, I am confident, I am enough, I trust myself. Say it until it feels less like a sentence and more like a truth. The more you repeat it, the more your subconscious accepts it. Remember from earlier chapters, repetition builds belief, and belief becomes reality. You may find old voices resurfacing, the echo of criticism, the weight of past mistakes. Don't fight them, understand them. Every harsh belief was born from an attempt to protect you. Maybe you learned to criticize yourself first, so others wouldn't hurt you later, but that protection is no longer necessary. You are no longer that child, that scared teenager, or that uncertain adult. You've grown, you've learned. It's time to update your reflection. There's another reason why rebuilding self-perception is so powerful. The world mirrors back how you see yourself. If you walk into a room believing you're unworthy, your body language, tone, and energy will unconsciously express it. Others respond accordingly, confirming your inner belief. But if you enter with quiet confidence, believing you belong, people will feel that too. You don't need to announce your worth, you simply embody it, and the world reflects it back. True confidence isn't arrogance, it's alignment. It's the calm knowing that you are enough as you are, while still being open to growth. It's standing before the mirror and seeing not perfection, but progress. It's being able to say, I have flaws, but I'm not defined by them. I have strengths, and I honor them. When you reach that place, the need for external validation begins to fade. You stop chasing approval because you already approve of yourself. Every time you look into the mirror, remember, you are seeing the result of years of beliefs, choices, and growth. But you are also seeing potential, the limitless version of you that exists beyond fear and doubt. The reflection you see today is not final, it's evolving. Each new thought, each new act of self-kindness, reshapes it a little more. So, the next time you meet your own eyes, don't just see the surface, see the survivor who made it through hard days, see the learner who continues to grow. See the creator of the life that's still unfolding. You are not what the world told you to be. You are what you decide to become. Your reflection is waiting for you to notice the truth. You've always been enough. You just forgot to believe it. Clean the mirror. See yourself clearly. The confidence you're seeking isn't out there. It's been in your reflection all along, waiting for you to remember. Chapter 5. Replacing fear with faith. Fear is the mind's natural response to uncertainty. It whispers warnings, paints vivid pictures of what could go wrong, and convinces you that staying where you are is safer than moving forward. Everyone feels fear. It's part of being human. But the problem isn't fear itself. It's the way we give it authority over our decisions. When fear becomes the loudest voice in your mind, it builds invisible walls around your potential. It limits your vision, your actions, and your confidence. Yet what most people forget is that fear and faith are two sides of the same coin. Both require you to believe in something you can't see. Fear believes in failure, while faith believes in possibility. The same imagination that creates fear can be trained to create faith. When you worry about the future, you're visualizing an event that hasn't happened yet. You see images of rejection, loss, embarrassment, or pain. You feel the emotions as though they were real, even though they exist only in your mind. That's the power of thought. It can make unreal things feel real. But here's the truth. If your imagination is strong enough to create fear, it's strong enough to create courage. The same mental energy that builds anxiety can build confidence. It's not about getting rid of imagination, it's about directing it toward faith. Faith doesn't mean ignoring reality. It means choosing to focus on what's possible rather than what's terrifying. It's the quiet inner assurance that even if you don't have all the answers, you'll find your way. Faith is not the absence of fear. It's the decision to move forward despite it. Courage is not about never feeling afraid. It's about acting in alignment with your higher vision instead of your lower doubts. Every time you do something that scares you but you do it anyway, you strengthen faith and weaken fear. To replace fear with faith, you must first understand fear's purpose. Fear's job is to protect you, not to paralyze you. It developed over centuries to keep humans safe from physical danger. But in modern life, that same mechanism often misfires. It treats a new career, a conversation, or a personal goal as though it were a threat to your survival. That's why your heart races, your palms sweat, and your mind screams, stop, when you step outside your comfort zone. Your brain doesn't know the difference between physical danger and emotional risk. Once you realize that, you can thank fear for trying to protect you, then remind it that you're safe to proceed. One powerful way to retrain your relationship with fear is through awareness and reframing. When fear arises, don't run from it. Observe it. Ask yourself, what is this fear trying to tell me? Often, fear points to the exact area where growth is waiting. If you're afraid to speak in public, perhaps you're being called to share your voice. If you're afraid to start something new, maybe you're being called to create. Fear highlights the edges of your potential, the places you haven't yet discovered confidence in. The next time fear appears, instead of saying, I'm scared, say, I'm expanding. That simple change reframes fear as a sign of progress, not weakness. The presence of fear often means you're on the right path. Growth never feels completely safe, because it requires leaving the familiar behind. But remember, everything you now find comfortable once felt unfamiliar too. You didn't know how to walk until you tried and fell. You didn't know how to speak until you stumbled over your words. You built confidence by acting through uncertainty. The same principle still applies. Faith grows through repetition, just like any other belief. Every time you choose faith over fear, you're training your mind to trust itself. You're showing yourself that the unknown isn't dangerous, it's simply undiscovered. Confidence is not built by waiting for fear to disappear, it's built by proving, again and again, that you can handle what comes. Each time you step into something new, your comfort zone expands. What once terrified you becomes natural, and the next challenge becomes easier to face. Visualizing success is a powerful tool in building faith. Just as fear creates mental pictures of failure, you can consciously create images of things going well. Close your eyes and see yourself accomplishing the very thing you're afraid of. Feel the sense of pride and relief as if it's already happened. Let your mind rehearse success instead of disaster. When you repeat this enough, your brain begins to expect positive outcomes and your nervous system responds accordingly. It's also helpful to replace fear-based language with faith-based language. Instead of saying, "What if I fail?" ask, "What if I succeed?" Instead of "This might go wrong," try, "Something good could come from this." Words shape emotion, and emotion shapes action. The phrases you repeat to yourself become mental programs. Choose words that build strength, not stress. There will always be moments when fear feels overwhelming, when the unknown seems too vast or the stakes too high. In those moments, ground yourself in truth. Take slow, deep breaths. Remind yourself that fear is temporary. It rises and falls like waves. It cannot stay forever. When you breathe through it, you reclaim control over your body and your focus. Then take one small action in the direction of your goal. Action is the antidote to fear. You don't overcome fear by thinking about it. You overcome it by moving through it. Some fears are rooted in the past. Maybe you failed once and never recovered emotionally. Maybe you were hurt, embarrassed, or rejected, and now your mind associates similar situations with danger. That's natural, but it's also outdated. The person you are now is not the person who failed back then. You've grown, learned, and evolved. The past doesn't define you, it prepares you. Each experience that once caused fear can become evidence of strength. You've survived everything life has thrown at you so far. That's proof of resilience. Use that proof to build faith in your ability to handle whatever comes next. Faith doesn't eliminate uncertainty, it transforms your relationship with it. Instead of seeing the unknown as a threat, you begin to see it as potential, a blank canvas where anything can unfold. You stop needing to control every detail and start trusting that life is unfolding for your growth, not against it. You begin to say, "I may not know how this will work out, but I believe something good will come from it." That belief alone opens doors you didn't even know existed. When fear arises, try this simple mental shift. See fear as a compass. It points toward the very thing that matters most to you. You wouldn't fear losing something meaningless. Fear shows you what you value: your dreams, your freedom, your self-expression. Once you recognize that, fear becomes less of an obstacle and more of a guide. It's simply energy asking to be redirected toward faith. Another key to replacing fear with faith is gratitude. Fear focuses on what might go wrong. Gratitude focuses on what's already right. When you shift your focus to what you appreciate, your health, your growth, your opportunities, you train your mind to see abundance rather than scarcity. Gratitude and fear cannot coexist in the same moment. Whenever you feel anxious, pause and list three things you're grateful for. You'll feel your energy shift immediately. The more you practice faith, the more natural it becomes. You'll start to notice yourself facing challenges with calm instead of panic. you'll feel the difference between fear's tension and faith's peace. You'll realize that nothing outside you can truly shake what's inside you when it's built on belief. Replacing fear with faith is not a one-time event, it's a lifelong practice. Every new level of growth will bring new uncertainties, but now you'll meet them differently. You'll see fear not as a signal to stop, but as an invitation to trust deeper. You'll recognize that the presence of fear is proof that you're evolving, that you're moving toward a life bigger than your comfort zone. And when that familiar voice of doubt whispers, "What if you can't?" you'll smile softly and answer, "What if I can?" That moment, that quiet choice, is where transformation begins. Because the mind that chooses faith over fear is unstoppable. It stops waiting for certainty and starts creating it. It stops fearing the unknown and starts shaping it. It learns that courage isn't the absence of fear, it's the mastery of it. Every great achievement, every act of confidence, begins with one brave decision: to believe in possibility more than limitation. So, take a deep breath, trust the path before you, and remember, fear is loud, but faith is stronger. Keep choosing faith, and the life you once thought was beyond you will begin to unfold before your eyes. Chapter 6: Daily Habits for a Confident Mindset. Confidence is not something you find, it's something you build, moment by moment, through the habits you practice every day. It doesn't appear overnight or arrive as a gift from the outside world. It's constructed quietly through small, consistent actions that teach your mind to trust itself. Every time you follow through on what you said you would do, every time you show up when you don't feel ready, every time you speak kindly to yourself instead of harshly, you're strengthening the foundation of confidence. Confidence is not about being fearless. It's about developing a daily rhythm that supports courage. When your habits nurture self-discipline, gratitude, and self-awareness, confidence naturally grows. It's the byproduct of how you live, not a quality you chase, but a state you create. The first habit of a confident mind is keeping promises to yourself. Each time you do what you say you'll do, no matter how small, you send a signal to your subconscious: I can rely on myself. That trust compounds over time. Most people think they lack confidence because they doubt their ability, but often what they truly doubt is their consistency. They've broken too many promises to themselves. Every time you procrastinate, avoid a goal, or give up midway, you chip away at self-trust. The opposite is also true. Every time you take action, even when it's uncomfortable, you rebuild it. Confidence is built in those quiet moments of follow-through that no one else sees. Start with something simple. Wake up and make your bed. Drink water first thing in the morning. Do one thing you've been avoiding. The task itself doesn't matter as much as the message behind it. I said I would, and I did. Over time, that message becomes your internal dialogue. You begin to think, I can handle what I commit to. That's how inner certainty grows. Another daily habit for confidence is intentional self-talk. The words you speak to yourself are shaping your self-image constantly. If you want a confident mind, you must feed it confident language. Replace "I can't" with "I'm learning." Replace "I'm not good enough" with "I'm improving every day." These simple substitutions seem small, but they're rewiring your neural pathways. The brain doesn't know the difference between imagination and repetition. It simply believes what it hears most often. See to yourself with authority and encouragement, the same way a great coach speaks to their team before a game. Confidence also thrives in structure and routine. A scattered life creates a scattered mind. When your days have rhythm, your energy stabilizes. This doesn't mean rigid schedules. It means having anchors that remind you of your direction. Start your mornings with clarity. Before checking your phone or emails, take a few minutes to center yourself. Sit in silence, breathe deeply, and remind yourself of who you're becoming. This sets the tone for your day. Then, plan 3 key actions that align with your goals. Completing small, meaningful tasks gives your mind evidence of progress. Equally important is movement. The body and mind are deeply connected. When you move your body, you shift your state of being. Exercise, even light stretching or a short walk, increases blood flow and releases endorphins, the chemicals responsible for feelings of confidence and well-being. Physical movement reminds your mind that you are capable of taking action. It breaks the paralysis of fear and indecision. Confidence doesn't thrive in stagnation, it thrives in momentum. Another essential habit is gratitude. Gratitude redirects your focus from what's missing to what's present. It teaches your mind to look for abundance instead of lack. Each morning or evening, write down three things you're grateful for. They don't have to be grand. A good meal, a kind word, a small victory. Gratitude shifts your emotional baseline. It softens anxiety and builds optimism, which are vital for a confident mindset. A grateful mind is a grounded mind. It sees life through the lens of possibility rather than fear. Next, practice mindful reflection. Confidence doesn't grow from doing more, it grows from understanding more. Take time each day to pause and reflect on your choices, emotions, and progress. Ask yourself, what went well today? What challenged me? What did I learn? Reflection turns experience into wisdom. It allows you to see patterns, celebrate growth, and correct course when needed. Without reflection, you repeat the same mistakes. With it, you evolve. Confidence is also built through exposure to discomfort. Each day, do one small thing that stretches your comfort zone. It could be speaking up in a meeting, striking up a conversation, sharing your ideas, or tackling a task you've been postponing. Discomfort is not a sign of weakness, it's a signal of expansion. Every time you face discomfort, your mind learns that fear is survivable. The next challenge feels easier because your nervous system remembers, I've been here before and I made it through. Equally vital is self-compassion. Confidence isn't about pretending you never fall. It's about knowing you can rise after you do. Treat mistakes as part of growth, not as proof of inadequacy. When you fail, don't attack yourself. Analyze what happened and learn. Say, this experience taught me something valuable. Compassion creates psychological safety, and safety allows courage to grow. A mind that constantly punishes itself will always fear taking risks. A mind that forgives itself becomes unstoppable. Another quiet builder of confidence is environmental design. Surround yourself with reminders of who you're becoming. Keep your workspace clean and inspiring. Display quotes, images, or symbols that represent your goals. The environment you live in influences your state of mind more than you realize. If your surroundings are chaotic, your thoughts will be too. Simplify and beautify your space. It tells your mind you value yourself and your work. Also, limit your exposure to negativity. That includes negative media, gossip, and people who drain your energy. The mind absorbs what it consumes. Protect your focus like a precious resource. Seek out books, podcasts, and people that challenge and uplift you. Confidence grows faster in positive soil. Rest and recovery are often overlooked, yet they are essential habits for a confident mindset. Confidence requires energy, and energy requires restoration. Sleep well, take breaks, step away from screens. When you rest, your body restores balance, and your mind regains clarity. Overworking from insecurity only reinforces the belief that you must earn rest to be worthy. But true confidence knows that rest is not laziness, it's respect for your limits. Lastly, practice celebrating small wins. Confidence grows when you acknowledge progress, not perfection. At the end of each day, take a moment to recognize what you accomplished, no matter how minor it seems. Say to yourself, I'm proud of me for doing that. This reinforces positive feedback loops in your brain. You train yourself to associate effort with reward. Over time, these small habits create a powerful transformation. You stop waiting to feel confident and start living confidently. You stop chasing approval and start trusting yourself. You realize that confidence was never about becoming perfect. It was about consistently showing up, growing and honoring your own word. Confidence doesn't happen in one grand moment of courage. It happens in the tiny choices you make when no one's watching, waking up early when you'd rather sleep, saying kind words to yourself when you feel low, doing the hard thing when it would be easier to quit. These moments, stacked day after day, become your unshakable foundation. The truth is, you don't need to wait for confidence to begin. You build it by beginning. Start small, stay consistent, and trust the process. With each day of intentional living, you're teaching your mind a new truth. I am capable, I am enough, and I am in control of my growth. Confidence is not found in a single act of bravery, but in the steady rhythm of self-respect repeated daily. So keep your promises, move your body, speak kindly, reflect often, rest deeply, and remember, each habit, no matter how small, is a declaration of belief in yourself. Over time, these habits won't just make you act confident, they'll make you be confident. Chapter 7, Becoming the Architect of Your Reality. By now you understand that your beliefs shape your experience, your thoughts build your confidence, and your habits design your mindset. The next step, the highest level of transformation, is realizing that you are not just a participant in life, you are its architect. Every emotion, every outcome, every pattern you experience begins in the mind. The world around you is a mirror reflecting what you believe to be possible within yourself. When you understand this, you stop waiting for life to change and start creating change from within. Being the architect of your reality means taking full ownership of your thoughts, actions, and emotions. It doesn't mean blaming yourself for everything that happens. It means recognizing your power and how you respond to it. You may not control every circumstance, but you always control your perspective, and your perspective determines your experience. Two people can face the same storm, one breaks and one grows stronger because of what they believe it means. You cannot always choose the weather, but you can choose how to sail. The first blueprint for creating your reality is clarity. You can't design a life you can't visualize. Take time to define what you truly want, not what society expects, not what others think you should pursue, but what your heart desires when it's quiet and honest. Ask yourself, what kind of life feels aligned with who I am? What values matter most to me? What do I want to create, contribute, and experience? Write your answers down. The clearer the vision, the more power it holds. The mind needs direction, otherwise it drifts toward chaos and doubt. Once you have clarity, the next step is belief alignment. You cannot create a reality that contradicts your beliefs. If your dream is to succeed but your inner belief whispers I'm not worthy of success, that belief will sabotage every opportunity that comes your way. Your mind will unconsciously steer you toward outcomes that match your expectations. This is why the work you've done in earlier chapters, rewriting your dialogue, replacing fear with faith, and building daily habits, is so important. Those practices prepare the foundation for creation. A strong belief system is the scaffolding that supports the life you build. Now comes intentional focus. Energy flows where attention goes. Whatever you consistently focus on expands in your life. If you dwell on problems, they multiply. If you focus on solutions, they reveal themselves. This isn't spiritual wishful thinking, it's cognitive psychology. The brain has a system called the reticular activating system, a mental filter that prioritizes what you pay attention to. If you focus on positivity, your mind starts spotting opportunities that align with it. If you focus on fear, your mind collects evidence of danger. You're not hallucinating new events, you're simply tuning into what matches your dominant frequency of thought. Every day, remind yourself of the life you're building. Visualize it. Speak about it as though it already exists. Feel the emotions connected to it: gratitude, excitement, peace. Emotion is what makes visualization magnetic. It bridges the gap between imagination and manifestation. Your subconscious mind doesn't respond to words alone. It responds to feeling. The more vividly you feel your desired reality, the faster your actions begin to align with it. But here's an important truth. Creation requires patience. Growth takes time, and transformation isn't linear. There will be days when doubt returns, when fear tries to reclaim space, when results seem invisible. In those moments, remember, a seed doesn't sprout the moment it's planted. The roots grow in silence first. Faith is what keeps you watering your dream before you see it bloom. Keep showing up. Keep thinking in alignment with your vision. The consistency of your belief is what turns imagination into reality. To become the architect of your life, you must also master emotional responsibility. Your emotions are not random, they're signals pointing to your focus and interpretation. When anger, sadness, or fear arises, don't suppress them. Examine them. Ask, what belief is behind this feeling? For example, if you feel jealousy, perhaps you believe someone else's success diminishes yours. If you feel anxiety, maybe you believe you won't be able to handle what's ahead. By applying the root belief, you regain power over it. Once you shift the underlying thought, the emotion loses control. Another principle of conscious creation is detachment. This may sound paradoxical, but it's crucial. Detachment doesn't mean you stop caring about your goals. It means you release the desperation around them. When you cling too tightly, you create tension, and tension blocks clarity. Detachment is trust, the faith that what's meant for you will align in perfect timing. It allows you to act with confidence, not fear. You do your part, the visualization, the action, the belief, and then you allow life to do its part. The best architects don't hover over every brick. They trust the blueprint and continue building. Your environment also plays a massive role in shaping your reality. The people you spend time with, the information you consume, the spaces you inhabit, all feed your subconscious. If you're surrounded by negativity, drama, or limitation, it's like trying to build a palace on unstable ground. Protect your energy fiercely. Seek people and places that reflect the mindset you're cultivating. The more aligned your external world is with your internal vision, the faster your transformation unfolds. Equally important is aligned action. Thought alone isn't enough. You can dream all day, but without movement, your vision remains a fantasy. Action bridges the gap between mental creation and physical reality. But this action doesn't have to be grand or perfect. It simply needs to be consistent and aligned with your goal. Each step you take reinforces your belief and signals to your subconscious that your dream is real. As you take action, remember that failure is part of the design process. No architect builds a masterpiece without revising the plan. Every setback offers feedback. When something doesn't work out, instead of asking why me, ask what is this teaching me? Each lesson refines your structure. The cracks you repair become part of the strength that holds your life together. Now imagine your ideal self, the version of you who has already achieved balance, peace, and purpose. How does that person think, speak, and behave? Begin living from that identity now. When you act as if you already are that person, your mind adapts to match it. You're not pretending, you're aligning. This is the essence of becoming the architect, designing your internal world until your external world reflects it. Your reality begins and ends with the thoughts you accept as truth. If you believe life is happening to you, you'll live as a victim. If you believe life is happening for you, you'll live as a creator. Every belief you hold is a building block. The question is, are you building a prison or a palace? The most empowering moment in your journey is when you realize nothing outside you determines your worth, your direction, or your destiny. You do. The power you once gave to fear, to doubt, to other people's opinions, you can reclaim it. When you take that power back, your entire world shifts. You stop reacting and start creating. You stop waiting for the right time and start realizing that this is the time. Becoming the architect of your reality is not about controlling life. It's about co-creating with it. It's about aligning your thoughts, emotions, and actions so that life responds to your clarity and courage. You no longer live by default, you live by design. Every great structure begins with a single line on a blank page. Consider this your blueprint. Start drafting the life you want. One belief, one thought, one action at a time. Build it with patience. Reinforce it with love. And when doubt tries to make you forget your power, return to this truth. You are not a product of your past. You are the designer of your future. You have always held the pen. Now it's time to draw the life you deserve. As this audiobook comes to an end, remember, this is not the end of your transformation. It's the beginning of a new chapter in your relationship with yourself. You've walked through your mind, explored the roots of your beliefs, challenged the thoughts that once held you back, and discovered the quiet power that's been waiting within you all along. The journey of erasing limiting beliefs is not about becoming someone new. It's about returning to the person you were before the world told you who to be. Every fear, every doubt, every limitation you've carried was never a reflection of your true self. They were layers, protective, inherited, temporary. Beneath them, you have always been capable, worthy, and powerful. Now you have the awareness to see it. You've learned that your thoughts create your reality, your words shape your emotions, and your habits build your confidence. You've learned that the voice inside your mind doesn't have to be your enemy, it can become your greatest ally. You are no longer at war with your mind, you are in partnership with it. You've learned to question your fears, to replace old patterns with new beliefs, and to speak to yourself with compassion instead of criticism. You've learned that the power to change your life doesn't come from waiting for external validation. It comes from the quiet decision to believe in yourself again. There will be days when old doubts return, when the world feels heavy and the mind feels clouded. On those days, come back to the truths you've uncovered here. Remind yourself that your beliefs are flexible, your thoughts are choices, and your growth is ongoing. You don't have to be perfect, you only have to stay aware. Aware, awareness is power. It is the light that dissolves the shadows of fear. Confidence isn't a final destination, it's a way of living. It's the trust you build through daily alignment with your values, your purpose, and your truth. It's waking up each day and deciding that no matter what happens, you will show up as your best self, not flawless, but faithful to your growth. And remember, growth is not loud. It doesn't always come with applause or recognition. It happens quietly, in the small moments when you choose peace over panic, patience over pressure, faith over fear. Those moments are where transformation truly lives. As you move forward, carry this understanding with you. You are the author, the director, and the architect of your life. Your mind is the canvas, and your beliefs are the brush. You can paint a story of struggle or a story of strength, and every day, you hold the power to choose. So choose belief, choose courage, choose kindness, especially toward yourself. Let your self-talk be a source of power, not pain. Let your habits reflect respect for the person you are becoming. Let your thoughts rise higher than the limits of yesterday. You are no longer defined by your fears or your failures. You are defined by your resilience, your awareness, and your willingness to grow. The version of you that began this journey is not the same as the one listening now. You've evolved, you've expanded, you've awakened to your own strength. Carry this clarity into your days. Let it echo in the quiet spaces of your mind. And whenever you doubt your power, remember this. You have everything within you to rebuild, to rise, and to thrive. You always have. This is your time, not to chase who you think you should be, but to embody who you already are. Free, capable, limitless. The rest of your life begins the moment you decide to believe it.